about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
If you've got a room and there's an elephant in there, it's pretty big.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the elephant in the room.
What this fundamentally means is that there's someone or some structure that has some degree of power such that talking about it will create pain before it makes things get better. Yeah. Now, the thing that has power could be an individual or a group of individuals, but it could also be a situation that has power. So, for example, there will be couples who are having a fight about something. There's a significant problem in the relationship, but rather than fight about that, they will fight about something else and not really talk about the big thing. And that's because when you talk about a big thing, you create pain, and that pain may or may not be something that can be overcome, but you're not gonna solve the problem without addressing it. And so it could be a situation, it could be a person, but it's hard to be the one who unleashes the pain.
Well, all the can kicking and elephant ignoring all has to do with avoidance of unpleasantness. And Art uses the word pain, and some of that what is experienced as pain might just be, you know, tremendous embarrassment. You know?
But most of us are ill-equipped to solve the problems, which is one of the reasons why we ignore the elephant.
Is it a good thing to bring up the elephant in the room? I mean, I know it's very difficult, but is it productive? Is it a good strategy? Is it something that we should be learning how to do?
I think it is important to learn to say difficult things, and I think it's also important to learn to say difficult things tactfully and productively. Part of the problem with elephants in the room is that they don't start as elephants. They often start as smaller issues that could have been dealt with. Not always, but sometimes they were smaller issues that have been swept under the rug and then grew into elephants that are now under the rug. And so part of the problem is when there's a big problem in a relationship or a big problem in an organization, by the time people are driven to really feel the presence of the elephant, there's energy, there's anger, there's frustration. And we've talked about this on past shows, we are not often our most eloquent selves when we're angry and frustrated and upset, which may cause us to address the elephant in the room, but to do it in a way that doesn't lead to productive next steps.
And which, you know what, yeah. I mean, one of the things about the decision of whether to raise the uncomfortable issue or not ought to be, how is this going to function? You know, I mean, a question that I think many people ask if they're dealing with a personal relationship or whatever, if I bring this up, is there some possibility that this is going to lead to a better outcome? So I think the idea that everything that's not brought out to the surface ought to be brought to the surface. I mean, sometimes, you know, it just isn't going to do anything productive. It might create unnecessary distance in a relationship and do nothing to improve the well-being of either party or if it's more than two people in relationship. So I don't think it's a given that if there's, you know, some unspoken thing, it needs to be spoken. And also it has to do with timing, because at different times in people's lives, they're more and less ready to hear something that they'd rather not hear. And I think sometimes, you know, we're in a place where, or with an individual who our relationship is such that we're receptive to what they are going to say to us, even when it's something that we'd rather not hear. And there are other times when, look, my life is such right now, do not add any more complications to what I'm doing by bringing this up now, because it's just not the right time. So I think an overall thing about what I'm just saying is, imagining if you're the person who's considering raising the uncomfortable issue, is what's the likelihood that I can see this is going to function positively?
But I think, you know, in general, we often err on the side of not having difficult conversations.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And so, you know, I think everyone would benefit from developing strategies for being able to be more direct in conversations that are potentially uncomfortable. And conversely, for developing skills to acknowledge error. So one of the things that you can do to help other people to be better at having difficult conversations is to make them a little less difficult when you're on the receiving end of things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's a natural thing to get defensive. Many people tend to be the hero of their own life story. And as the hero of that life story, their role in each incident is cast in the best possible light. And when someone brings to your attention that something that you did may not have been as great as you remember it or as blameless as you perceived it, there's an initial tendency to say, but wait a second, that doesn't fit with my version of the event. And that may very well be true, but it is difficult to, but often important to take a step back and say, well, what might this have looked like from someone else's perspective?
Yeah.
And is it possible that I could have handled this differently? And to start those conversations when someone engages a difficult topic with you, to start that by meeting them where they are, rather than trying to drag them to your perspective, can often lead to a more productive outcome, but also make it easier for people to raise issues with you in the future because of the sense that those conversations would actually be productive.
Yeah, and I think one part of what Art is saying is the timing of this when everyone is in a state of relative calm. Difficult conversations are difficult to initiate and to maintain if everybody's starting pretty angry. But when you're in a place where whoever's directing this situation, you know, whoever the traffic cop is in the conversation, is able to bring a little state of quiet to something, and then we bring up the things that are difficult without triggering a level of emotion that sort of obscures the clarity of our thinking, that's a really important part to making this work.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of the hypochondriac with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.